Today I want to introduce you to some real characters. You may find yourself among them. In fact, I really do believe that the characters that we'll talk about today in our service, in our worship, with a message, is going to be someone that you can relate to. I want to read the text that we're looking at for today from Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. I'm reading this out of the New American Standard Bible. Acts 2, 5 through 13, and we read, "Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred," the sound of the rushing mighty wind occurred, "the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Why are not all these who are speaking, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own languages, speaking the mighty deeds of God.' And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others were mocking and saying, 'They are full of sweet wine.'" The day of Pentecost, as we continue in the book of Acts, and we'll pick this up later on, Lord willing, in January after the holiday season. But pray with me first. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your Holy Spirit, not simply to influence us, but to live in us as believers, to empower us to do what you have commanded us to do, to allow us the access to your power, your abilities. In fact, infusing us with your presence and your will and your abilities. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, that through these lessons, that we would find ourselves victorious, that we would come to you on your terms, and that you would do what we cannot, and that the Holy Spirit may guide us, to mature us, to fill us, that is to put us under your control rather than our own whims. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in it, that we would be fulfilled by it, and your kingdom would grow as a result. In the name of Christ, I pray it. Amen. So I want to introduce you to three different people, actually four persons that were there at the time when this occurred. And I realized that in Iowa, and this was in Jerusalem, that there's a slight cultural differences. The clothing that we're wearing today was not common in that time and in that place. Our haircuts are different. The way we express ourselves different. The language is different. In fact, nobody around there knew English. And apparently, English was not spoken at this occasion. Maybe. But there's maybe a reason why it wasn't. There were no Englishmen there at the time, apparently. But there were foreigners that were there. This was the Feast of Pentecost. We mentioned this last week somewhat. These people, mentions the places they came from. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, Cretans and Arabs, and all of these groups, they were present there. Why were they in Jerusalem at that time? Well, they were there to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is the celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. This was a they celebrated the fact that God gave them the law many, many years before, but this was a celebration of that gift of God's law for them. It was also the wheat harvest, and they were dedicating the harvest of wheat, and they did this by various sacrifices that they brought to the temple. But one of the sacrifices was two loaves of bread made with leaven, made with yeast. It rose in its up, and they brought these before the Lord as an offering. This was at Pentecost, 50 days after first fruits, the day that Jesus died. Excuse me. This is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. 50 days later is Pentecost. So why were they in Jerusalem? Well, they were celebrating the feast of Pentecost. They were participating in it. The law required all males to do that, to come to Jerusalem, to the temple, to present themselves before the Lord. This is the second of three times in the year that they were required to do this. This time, they were caught by surprise. They perhaps had done this in other years, to come at Pentecost to present themselves before the Lord and to bring these two loaves of bread and offering the other sacrifices required for that celebration. But this time it was different. What was remarkable about this time? Well, there's 120 followers of Jesus that had been locked up in this room that had been, they had been spending time in Jerusalem waiting for to receive the gift that Jesus promised before he ascended into heaven. And they had been there. They had been praying. That was one of the things they dedicated themselves to. While they were waiting, they were praying. And then they dedicated themselves to the Word of God and finding a replacement, as was prophesied that they would do, finding a replacement for Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and hanged himself. And so that the full apostleship of 12 could be fulfilled, they prayed and they decided the parameters were already written, had to be an apostle. That meant that they had to serve, that they were with Jesus from the baptism of John the Baptist, baptizing Jesus, until the ascension of Jesus. And that was a requirement for being one of these 12. And they chose Matthias. It was actually, they prayed about it, and they drew lots. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was counted among them. And so these people, most of them Galileans, and they stuck out in a crowd like a sore thumb. I mean, they were obvious, different kind of cultural background, different educational resources applied. And these would have been the blue-collar workers. Now, Jerusalem was a center of theology and theological studies in the world at the time. And yet, in Capernaum, where Jesus ministered and where many of these people came from in the Galilean region, education wasn't quite that way. It was by experience. And some of them perhaps couldn't write the language, but they carried on the life that they had learned from parents and so on, and they were not considered very smart. Now, have to say that some of them were very smart, but they weren't considered that. It was kind of an outcast. It was kind of a frontier from Jerusalem, where there was a lot of building going on. In fact, there was during Jesus' day, there was a what is the cult place called where they would meet to study and worship and stuff, the Jewish people? What? Yeah, synagogue. There was a new synagogue being built at that time when Jesus was there. Perhaps he even worked on it. But it was an outpost kind of thing, and it was It was a boomtown thing. Great things were happening at the time of Jesus in Capernaum. And that's where Jesus was, and that's where he met these fishermen and the tax collector and this group of 12 that he had called to follow him. And then there was others that came along too. There was Mary, Jesus' mother, was there, and Mary Magdalene and others. And Jesus' brothers were here at the time too. He had at least 4 brothers. And they came along. And all of them were there, 120 of them are numbered. And all of a sudden, these men, these foreigners that came, all of a sudden hearing these people, Galileans, doing something amazing. They were speaking their own language. Not the Galilean language, but the language of the people who came from other countries. That was a surprise. The foreigners were hearing the wonders of God described to them in the languages that they use back home. Languages that Galileans don't learn. The strange thing about it was, who would expect that from Galileans? They didn't have the educational system, wasn't even there. In fact, why would they teach these languages anyway? They learned the languages that they had to learn. They learned they could speak in some of their Hebrew and then some of their Greek, but maybe snatches of Latin, because those were spoken around there. But they didn't know all of these languages. They hadn't studied these languages. And they were describing the mighty deeds of the Lord. What would those have been? Well, it could have been almost anything from the Old Testament what God had written down for them, or what they heard in the synagogue, because they had access to listen to this. But this was the foreigners, and they were there visiting, they were there celebrating. They had this great surprise. And then another part of this was the Galileans. They were probably surprised themselves in some ways that they were able to do these incredible things. They knew it wasn't from their own education. They knew it wasn't some instinctive thing in them that all of a sudden came out. The Galileans. Why were they, these Galileans in Jerusalem, and why were they different from other Galileans? Because they obviously were. They could speak these languages. Well, these Galileans were followers of Jesus. Not all Galileans were, but these were. These Galileans witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. It had happened like 50 days earlier. These witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. Well, that's different. None of us, I don't think, have really witnessed the resurrection of a person. These Galileans had been hiding in fear. But now they were publicly bold. Something had happened to these Galileans that made them different from other Galileans. They spoke the mighty works of God, and now they were a mighty work of God, even as they spoke. These Galileans were vessels and know how people thought, so that they could relate the truth to them in ways that they were able to understand. And sometimes we find that we need to change our approach, because what maybe happened, what I grew up with in the long time ago, is an approach that was functional and effective back then. And the same approach just doesn't quite reach the culture that has changed since. So we need to be, this is being up to date with being able to speak the language of the people that we're talking to. We need to be able to understand how they're thinking. And the more that we do this, the more effective we can be in carrying out the commands of Jesus. They were doing that. And in this case, the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak languages that they hadn't studied, and they were able to relate to these people the wonders of God, the wonderful works of God. The Galileans, the foreigners, the Galileans, and then the mockers. They're a piece of work. Mockers are people who lack necessary information that they do not want. They were asking the question, what does this mean? The foreigners and others in Jerusalem, what? These people are speaking languages they never learned. What does this mean? They knew it had specific meaning. Now they're saying, what does this mean? And then the mockers come along and say, it doesn't mean anything. They're just drunk. They're just drunk on sweet wine. And Peter said, at 9 in the morning? Seriously? He maybe didn't say it quite that way. But he said, they can't be just drunk on this because it's 9 in the morning. They're not going to be drunk at that time. It's something else. It's something other than what we can explain by our culture and how our culture operates and how people act. This is different. This isn't this change and this thing that is happening does not come from in them. It doesn't come from their understanding. It doesn't come from their preferences. It doesn't come from their passions. It comes from God, who is now infused in them to allow them to do this, because God has a purpose and God wants to speak to you about his wonderful works. And he wants to do it in a way that you're going to sit up and take notice, and you're going to understand that this has a meaning beyond what you thought. Are they drunk? Galileans were mocked because the mockers were ignorant. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? The Galileans were there, and the foreigners were there, and they were there to celebrate the giving of the law. And they were responding to what God commanded. And in verse 12, it says, they were amazed, they were perplexed. They did not understand exactly what was happening. They knew it meant something, because they asked, what does this mean? This was significant. They didn't all mock, and likely some mockers eventually changed their tune, as we're going to find out as we complete this chapter. They did not know what it meant. They needed to know what it meant. And they learned what it meant that day. Mockers. Maybe you've come across one or two. Mockers. I have some questions and things about mockers. Mockers, if you were wrong, would you really want to know it? Often they don't even care. They don't want to know if they're wrong. They just want to do what they do. It's a really interesting question for somebody who is mocking Jesus or trying to gainsay the Bible, what the Bible says. If you were wrong, would you want to know it? Mockers, if these Galileans are not drunk like you claim, what explanation do you have to answer your own question? Do you really want to know, or are you just being obstinate? We don't usually address mockers like this, but it's probably okay if we did. Mockers, if these Galileans are not drunk, it will be to your advantage to know what's going on with them, because something is. Mockers, are you going to intentionally remain foolish and ignore their honest claim? Mockers, do you imagine that these people do not know what's happening with them just because you have no clue about it yourselves? You can't assume that they don't know simply because you don't. Mockers, how can you know God's commandments but remain willfully careless about the remedy he prepared for you? Mockers, since God is declaring what he requires, what purpose will be served by continuing to follow what always fails? Mockers, today God is proving himself to you by empowering what you cannot explain. If you deride the people who tell you the truth that you reject, what does this actually say about you? Mocker, If you actually knew the answer to your "what does this mean" question, you would know better than to mock. You would be asking a different question. You would be asking, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Which many of them did later on. Mockers, are you afraid to yield something that you value or prefer so much that you will sacrifice God's promises for it? Be assured that you will outlive your preferences and all the things you value long before the promises of God run out. Mockers, what are you hearing? What you are hearing is the fulfillment of the prophecy about it. Much of this approach is seen in what Peter is going to respond to this. So we got three people here. We got foreigners, we have Galileans, and we have mockers. Actually, there's another person involved in this that is crucial to the whole thing, and that, of course, is the person of God, the Holy Spirit, the one who is empowering the Galileans to be surprisingly different, refreshingly truthful. There are some questions that may help us in dealing with these. Do you sometimes find that what God says is not convenient to do? I do. There are times. Do you know that there are things that are true but hard or costly to apply? Do you find that there are some things that you would rather understand differently than it seems the Bible says? Are you more interested in spectacular things like hearing the rushing wind and seeing the tongues of fire resting on people than of honestly doing what God said to do? Would you like to fulfill God's purpose for you, but you have trouble doing it with people around you or in a way that you would not prefer? Do you know that God put his people together in units so that they have help and understanding and in doing what he said? Well, we talked about these different people, these different persons that were there. I want you to put yourself in their spot. What person of the Pentecost story might you be? Foreigner. This is someone who needs God to reveal what is necessary and what it truly means for them. That's the foreigner. The Galilean, someone who finds meaning, purpose, and actions that are fulfilling and continually renewed by following God's leading. A mocker, someone who needs what is offered, but who is reluctant to pursue it for fear of what it would mean for them. This may be your Pentecost. When you say, "I do not know how it all works or what it all means, but I want to learn so that I do not miss what God has planned for me." The challenge for us. Which position would you like to occupy? Which do you find yourselves, and which one would you rather pursue? Would you likely pursue? Is this foreign to you? Is this something that is ridiculous and should be mocked? Or is this something you buy wholeheartedly and change everything in your life to fulfill? That is our challenge today. I trust this is understandable enough so that we can tell God what we intend. What is it that we intend with our position, with where we are, and what we see as his future for us? And so with that, I would like us to take 1 minute to pray and talk to God about that. Where are we? And what do we intend God to do with us? Let's pray together. Our Father, as we sit before you, and we're dealing with this lesson, help us, Lord, to understand that it is your Spirit who is calling and directing things, and yet it is our responsibility to reply and apply. And so, Father, I pray that you would lead us in that individually, so that we can fulfill the great purpose and plan that you have in store for us, a purpose filled with the power of your Spirit within us to do what Jesus has commanded us. And then, Lord, that you would give us the joy and fulfillment of this, and yet so that you may receive the glory that is due to you. So, Lord, change us to fit this moment. Let this time be your moment that our every interest and pleasure of yours will serve. Not just for a season or for a certain project, but for all of our moments. Make each of these moments of ours into a life's domain of obedience and service, and make it that way forever. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray.